At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome back to American Muslim Project. I'm Asad Butt. American Muslim Project is a podcast that features all the cool things that American Muslims are doing. On today's episode, we have filmmaker Mahnoor Yousuf. Mahnoor's new short film, Eid Mubarak, is about a six-year-old Pakistani girl who embarks on a mission to save her beloved pet goat from being eaten on the Muslim holiday of Eid. The movie is making the rounds at festivals across the country and across the world. It actually won the jury award at the New York International Children's Film Festival. That means it's an Oscar-qualified short, which basically means it could win an Oscar next year, which would be really exciting. We're going to talk about all that and so much more, including Mahnoor's upbringing as an immigrant to America, on this episode of American Muslim Project. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So first off, thanks for joining American Muslim Project. Super excited to have you. I watched your film just last night and just absolutely loved it and just loved everything about it. My first question is, they say not to do anything with kids or animals when shooting a movie. You did both.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, you know, I've only been back to Pakistan twice since I immigrated, and this was the second time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, to film the movie. But it was complete madness. It was complete madness. It was like complete chaos. But I think what's really important with kids or with any other actors is really the casting process. And if you cast right, then I think you're going to have like a really great time. And I cast correctly, I feel, for the kids, for my two leads, and for the goat, who was, Barfi the goat was like the nicest, sweetest, like gave us all these different performances.
Did you actually have a casting call for goats, or did you just like go somewhere and you're like, actually, you had multiple goats, right? Like, but did you pick that one specifically?
We bought the goat. Because you can just do that in Pakistan. But I went to like different Bakramandis or animal goat markets, and I saw like I saw like at least 100 goats, if not more, you know? Yeah. And I always say like it was like a movie. It was like a La La Land scene where the light was like perfectly shining on Burfi and he was so clean and so sweet. And I knew right away, you know, with him that he was the goat for us.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. I really enjoyed the movie. And to your point, I think your casting choices, especially for the lead actress, was amazing. Iman, I think, is the
so the character is Iman, yeah, and the actress, her name is Rubab.
I mean, just great, the facial expressions and everything. Were you, this is based on a true story, right? Like, this is like your this happened to you and your sister. Were you like kind of trying to find an actress that could embody you a little bit on the screen, or what? Talk to me about that process.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is based on a true story, and I was definitely looking for a certain quality in the actor. I think I was a really wild, insane kid, so I don't know how many people, how many kids were like me. I was, if you see any pictures of me as a kid, I look, you can only describe them as extremely derpy, and I'm just like,
I don't
looking
know that word,
in the
derpy?
Yeah, like derp.
Oh man, I think this might be a generational thing.
What? Like D-E-R-P, derp?
Never heard that term before. We're going to have to look it up. So describe what derpy is for the people, for the, okay, the boomers like me that don't know.
So I hope it doesn't have any like problematic origins, the word, but it's kind of like you just kind of look like a fool.
Okay, fair enough. I just look like now, basically.
But in my childhood photos, I just always look like I'm like spaced out. I'm like looking somewhere else. I like have a dazed kind of expression on my face. You know, I'm never ready for the picture. I'm never smiling. I'm just in That's my own amazing. World, you know. But so I was kind of looking for that, like someone who's sort of in their own world. And also someone who is very young and still had that naive, childlike sense of wonder kind of, and mischievousness, you know. So that's what I was looking for. And I think with Rubab, I really found that. And it was interesting because she has been acting since she was like 6 months old.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
Yeah. She's like in a lot of Pakistani dramas, like TV shows. And she was kind of trained in that Pakistani, like acting with a capital A sort of way.
Sure.
But yeah, she's, yeah, when I worked with her, you know, I found like immediately she still had that like very natural kind of humanist, you know, way of performing as well. So that's what I was really looking for with Iman, especially.
Yeah, that's amazing. I really love the colors in the movie, just like the vibrance to it. I guess it felt a little Wes Anderson-y, you know, to me, but like, and even on your background, like, I feel like maybe this is you, your personality coming through in the film, or, but it was just like really cool to see. Can you talk about that a little bit? And I think people, when they see it, they'll take that away from, you know, from the experience.
Yeah, Pete, I've seen people on social media be like, it's giving Wes Anderson, like Pakistani Wes Anderson.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I always get Wes Anderson, and I think he's definitely, you know, a big inspiration because I have a design and art background, and I feel like Wes Anderson really pays attention to those sort of design details that maybe other filmmakers, you know, might not be so obsessed with.
Yeah.
But I think because of that, he's definitely a huge inspiration. And, you know, obviously Wes Anderson was inspired by so many different filmmakers to develop his own style, a lot of them being from the Indian subcontinent. So I think for me, Wes was a big inspiration. And then I'm also really into like Mogul miniatures, and I really like what they do with perspective. They're kind
Can
of like...
explain what that is?
Yeah. So if you've ever seen like... any of those really flat looking paintings that are almost always in profile from the Indian subcontinent sort of world, most of those are usually from the Mughal Empire, which is the empire before the British. And it was kind of like, you know, like the Byzantine illustrated manuscripts that they used to do like a lot of biblical paintings for. It was kind of like the Indian version of that. But all the court paintings, all the portraits of the kings and queens and everyone really was kind of done in that style. And it's like very detailed, small miniature painting that they still do in Pakistan and India. And it's like an art form, you know. I feel like sometimes you there's a perspective on it that maybe it's like, you know, when the Europeans had their Renaissance, they started doing these really like hyper realistic paintings, and you know, it was like Caravaggio, and he was showing you just with one candle the light and this and all that. And so it can kind of almost seem like the Mughal miniature way of doing it was like more primitive, but I actually think that it's a really interesting way of like flattening perspective and showing you know, different levels of space, and it kind of also reminded me of like a dollhouse, you know. And yeah. So all of my references were to show the world through Iman's sort of like fairy tale, girly girl world, you know? And so I think Wes Anderson, the Mughal miniatures, a lot of other different things, like the Florida Project was a big inspiration. All those things worked together. Yeah, the Florida Project is a movie also about a little kid set in Florida with like really vivid colors. And the filmmaker talks about how a child sees colors like way more vividly than an adult does, and how everything appears bigger to a child.
Sure.
So those were some things I also tried to take into account.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this movie?
I came up with the idea in like 2018 or 2019 for a class in my MFA at USC, but I kind of put it aside and I really started working on it in 2021, like the summer of 2021, and I started applying to programs, writing the script again, and really thinking about making it.
Yeah, and I guess why did you want to share this story with the world? What was it about, you know, the story that you felt needed to be told?
Well, you know, when I shared the story in my writing class in my MFA, it was a very diverse class with a lot of Americans, but also international students, and I felt like even though it was such a specific and unique experience to like Muslim kids and Muslim countries, it really resonated with everyone, and everyone felt like some sort of a connection to it, you know? And everyone was like really encouraging, and they were like, you have to make this, you have to make this. And at that time I was like, oh my God, it's so daunting to think about making something set in Pakistan. Like, how am I going to do that with kids and animals? But, you know, I think that always stayed with me. So I had to finish a lot of my degree in the pandemic. And so when I graduated, I was like, I didn't get to make a thesis film, you know, that was like my calling card to show what I'm all about. And I just came back to the story and I thought that not only did it resonate with other people, but it also really resonated with me. Like, I never got over it.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
The experience, it stayed with me I just think about it subconsciously every time I eat meat still. And I think it really shaped like how I see the world, you know, as I think it really taught me about like what it is to be a Muslim, what Islam is all about. So I had such a strong connection with it also, you know.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more with a conversation with Mahmoud. Welcome back to American Muslim Project. So I also have that experience of going to Pakistan and seeing a goat killed right before my eyes. You know, like what is it about us going to Pakistan and seeing this happen? Like, is this an experience that all of us have to go through? Is it a coming of age type of thing?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, in Pakistan. I mean, Eid is a yearly holiday. And I think that my dad told me that when he was young, I've only been back twice, and I have kind of a, you know, I feel like I immigrated here at an old enough age where I really knew a lot about Pakistani culture, but yeah. I don't live there anymore.
Eight,
I don't
right?
know. Yeah, when I was eight, almost nine. I was eight and a half, you know, so halves matter at that age. But so obviously things have changed. I don't know if they still do everything this way, and, you know, regionally it might be different and whatever. But my dad told me when he was young that they would actually make the boys do the sacrificing. He was he was the youngest of seven. He was like, I was so scared. I was like shaky. I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're the boy, you have to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And the girls, usually they never involved with the sacrifice, but my dad, being the feminist that he is, was like, I want you guys to see this also. So I think it's definitely like a coming of age experience in Muslim countries. And also, you know, just because we don't sacrifice our meat here, in America doesn't mean that someone is a sack. Yeah, someone has to do it, you know?
Someone has to do it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, farm to table. We're just a little more, you know, see what you're doing and be a part of it. Like, you don't need to be so separated from the process, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are really resonating with this movie. It is playing across the country at festivals right now, across the world even. I saw it's playing in Australia soon. And
yeah,
now
soon,
I think you might even be shortlisted for an Oscar. Is that like you are potentially going to be? No, I'll be like, talk to me about this process. Like, I mean, let's talk about the reception that you've received, and then also, like, you know, just that the build up to this Oscar campaign.
Yeah, so we are playing all over the world. We're playing at South by Southwest Sydney, which is the first time South by has left North America. And we are not shortlisted yet, but we could be. We are in the running officially. We're officially screening in the Academy screening room. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really I can't even process. I glitch out when I think about it. But you know, I worked with a studio called Creator Plus to initially create the sort of festival and distribution strategy. And so we applied to a lot of festivals all over the world. And we have played everywhere from like children's festivals to international festivals that are, you know, all different sorts of countries. We're playing in the Netherlands soon and, you know, in Greece, in Italy, in Barcelona. So even, you know, countries that maybe are not Muslim countries are into it. But also like children's festivals, they really love this film because it's, you know, kids can watch this and understand maybe something about a different culture.
Sure.
And really resonate with it, and families can watch it together. And then, of course, like Muslim and Asian audiences, South Asian audiences are like, it's so fun for me to watch with like a packed South Asian, you know,
sure,
cinema, just because they get all of the jokes, they get all the different nuances that I put in there.
For sure.
And it's also really fun to watch it with kids too. But yeah, so basically we have, you know, now we're kind of coming to the more international part of our festival journey. But we won the jury award at New York International Children's Film Festival.
Wow.
And that's an Oscar accredited film
Amazing.
Festival. And so that's how we qualified to be in the running.
What's next for you? What are you working on now? Other than this, obviously, campaign, but what any other creative projects that you're doing?
Yeah. So I'm working on a third draft of a feature film called Brown Girl. And that one's sort of like 13 going on 30 Mean Girls, but like genre wise, but it's the tone of Pen 15, and it's based on my middle school experience. I take everything from my life, but it's about like a Pakistani seventh grader who wants to be popular really badly in a really affluent SoCal suburb. So she makes a wish to be like the popular girls, and she wakes up the next day white, and she realizes that her newfound privilege, you know, is not worth losing her identity over. So I'm trying to figure that one out right now. And then I'm also
was that a wish that you had?
Because I'm an immigrant, I don't think I didn't wish to be white, because I'm like kind of obsessed with my identity. I think my parents put like a really strong love of our culture into us. They're very into the arts. My parents are like really liberal, art-loving Pakistanis, nice. You know. But I do think, who doesn't want to be popular in middle school, and who doesn't want power, you know, who doesn't want to be rich, you know, at that age,
sure,
especially, who doesn't want to wear all the things that are trending and have the right phone and the right accessories and be accepted, you know. I think that's a unique age where, like, you just don't want to be different in any way whatsoever.
Sure, yeah.
Being, like, the only brown person in a very white, affluent community. And being poor was, like, you couldn't be more different, you know?
Yeah. So how important is it to you to have these stories on the big screen? You know, I think that you and I are probably very similar in that, you know, we want to see more brown, South Asian, Muslim characters on the screen. Like, what is that what's driving you? What is it that is driving you to share these stories with the world?
You know, When I immigrated here, I watched a lot of late night TV, and I used to watch Friends like all night long as a young person. So I grew up with Friends, and it wasn't until college that someone said, "Have you ever noticed that like everyone in Friends is white?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What?" I was like, "I'm a Rachel. You're a Monica." Like, I wasn't even thinking of like, you know, like, oh, everyone was white. And it's because I think the story was, you can connect with the story so intensely that, you know, it doesn't matter that what ethnicity it is, you still connect with it. And I do think that's the power of like first cinema and American cinema, you know, mainstream American cinema. But I think in the same way, like when we watch The Godfather, we're not thinking, oh, this is an Italian story, but it's very much rooted in Italian American, you know, experiences, right? I think like we're getting to a point where maybe that's what's happening with our stories as Muslims and, you know, South Asians and people of like the most recent immigration wave. But I think what's really important to me, the reason I do this is because these are just my experiences. And for me, whatever I write, like, you know, I'm thinking from my perspective. So I just think my lead is always a Pakistani woman, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So I think that's based on my own experience. But also, I think as a Pakistani person, immigrating to a place like Palos Verdes, you know, and being poor, but being there for the schools and all that stuff, I think so many of us have that experience of being the only brown person or the only Muslim person in a room. I think I've done a really deep dive into like race relations, identity politics, history. And I feel like, you know, the British left Pakistan in 1947, but our minds are still colonized, you know? There is nothing that holds you back like yourself and like self-hate, you know? So I just want to make movies that, and I feel like that is such a disservice to humanity. You know, I think women experience this. I think all minorities experience this. All people of different gender identities experience this. But it's such a waste of potential, and it's such a waste of time. And the world could be like so much more of an amazing place if we weren't bogged down by those mental shackles, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what's important to me is that someone watches my film and it encourages them to kind of decolonize their minds and just engage in like really radical self-love and believe in themselves and believe in their dreams. And, you know, I love third cinema. Like, I love the whole revolutionary cinema call to action type of stuff. That's like my biggest inspiration is the revolution. But also, like, I also am an American, you know, I also love like first cinema. I love Back to the Future. I love The Matrix. I love really entertaining sort of films. And I feel like that's kind of my hope, is to combine everything and maybe, you know, create a new thing and encourage people to just be inspired in their own lives, you know, to live their own lives to their fullest potential.
Awesome. I can't wait to see what else you come up with. Where is one place that people can find you or find the Eid Mubarak?
So the only social media I really post on is Instagram, and you can find me with my last name, which is EUCEPH. We spell Yusuf really weird. but also the film is on Instagram, Eid Mubarak Film. And you can also find me on my website, which is nooryusuf.com. If you want to support the film or our campaign at all, you can buy a limited edition hand illustrated poster by Brett Helquist, who is the amazing illustrator who I'm obsessed with behind a series of unfortunate events.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, you can check that out. You can buy that. You can check out Instagram, and I post updates about, you know, the film's journey on there.
Amazing. And my last question, what is your favorite Taylor Swift song? Because you have that Midnight's record up there.
Which is a perfect shade of lavender.
It is a great
for any shade of lavender. If you have a lime wash pink, light pink wall. My favorite one, you know, I really like the one, what's the one where she's like insulting herself? She's like, I'm the problem.
Oh, Anti-Hero?
Yeah. I thought that was very honest songwriting.
For sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And one of the biggest songs of the year, for sure. Well, Mahnoor, thank you so much for joining American Muslim Project. We can't wait to see what else you are doing. Okay. Up next, Soundcheck with producer Art. All right. right, welcome back to our sound check with producer Ari. Ari, what did you think of Mahnoor?
Oh, she was great. I really loved your conversation talking about the like filming process and the goats.
The goats, yeah, totally. I can't believe how many goats you had to go through to find the one yeah. goat. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I also really appreciated her comment, like in the U.S., we might not sacrifice our meat, but also someone is doing the act.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a point there of like, oh, you have this reaction here. Well, you know, it's happening. It's happening. Why not get more connected to
it? For sure, yeah.
And I don't know, that's something that's always connected with me. Like, I grew up with a family that like does a lot of gardening, that worked in farms for generations and stuff. And I don't know, I like that idea of like being connected.
Totally. Have you ever sacrificed, killed an animal that you ended up eating?
I have not myself, but I've definitely gotten like farm fresh meat from like my sister's mother-in-law, who she's actually very close to. And I like follow their she has like a whole farm Instagram, and she's like, this is what we're doing. This is the process. I'm like, oh, this is so fascinating.
People claim that it tastes better, right? Like if more fresh, I guess that, yeah.
I mean, if it is more fresh, then it's probably going to taste better, but you're going to notice a difference.
Totally. Ari, what is this term? Derp? What did she say?
Derpy.
What is this? How come? Do you know this term? I didn't know this term.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
Yes, you do know this term. It's been around for a while.
Wow, I am way out of it.
But yeah, it's like a casual adjective for looking stupid or foolish.
No, I definitely feel that right now. So yeah, 100%. Cool. Well, that's our show for today. I want to thank Ari. I want to thank Mahnoor. And I want to thank you for listening. We'll see you all next week.